Father God, in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, we want to thank you for this absolute phenomenal privilege that we have to be together on a Wednesday night to glorify your name. Lord, what an awesome privilege we have to be in the presence of the living God. What a phenomenal privilege we have to be where God is. Oh Lord, I pray for every person that is here tonight. I don't know them, but you do. You called them out of their mother's womb. You called them into this world. Lord, there's not one of them that is in this world today by mistake. Every single one of them is here for a specific purpose and a specific reason. And Lord, we do know that the devil will do everything in his power to keep them from understanding what that is. He wants to confuse us. He wants to mess with us. He wants to make us suffer under rejection and fear. Make us under the burden of anxiety and depression and despondency. But you have so much more for us, Lord. And we thank you and we honor you and we praise you for that. And Lord, as these people come here tonight to visit here, I thank you that they can enter a stream of living water. Lord, not ankle deep, not knee deep, not even waist deep. May they be submerged in the anointing and the power of the Spirit of God. May life begin to enter into every area where the devil has brought about death, decay, and destruction. We thank you for life and new life. In Jesus' mighty name. Holy Spirit, tonight you are the guest of honor. Because you have come into this place to glorify through us and in our midst the Lord Jesus Christ. And without you, we just cannot do that. Holy Spirit, tonight's meeting belongs to you. Please move amongst God's people. Touch them, heal them, deliver them, restore, rejuvenate, refresh, and renew them. I thank you for this now. In Jesus' holy name. Amen. All right. If you are a visitor here tonight, we're busy with a series where we're discussing the effects that curses have on people's lives. It's a very difficult thing to talk to Christians about. I'll tell you why. Because most Christians are adamant that God will never allow them to be cursed. They are adamant that the devil has lost all its power because we become children of God. I was speaking to my brother this week, and he went away for the weekend. And, you know, my brother is quite on fire for God. And a lot of the people that went with him on this weekend knows that, you know, he's on fire for God, and they know that he is also used in ministry, and they began to talk. And they started discussing what I do. You know, and some of the stuff that happens here when we pray for people. And the one chap is a Christian, believes in God. But the moment my brother explained some of the stuff that we've seen here, how we've seen people be delivered from evil spirits and curses broken over their lives and the changes and started sharing testimony like that, this guy jumped up and he said, "What a load of rubbish." He cannot believe that anybody can believe rubbish like that. If you are a Christian, the devil cannot touch you. Just raise your hands if you can identify with that. Listen here. If the devil cannot touch us, who are we going to blame for all the suicides? You want to tell me God told that? Oh, pull the trigger, pull the trigger, pull the trigger. Who are we going to blame for all the drug addiction in this world? And listen here, my friend, let me just help you right. Half the drug addicts out there are Christian. Yes. And a lot of them are even spirit-filled. Yes. But they cannot break the bondage of addiction. Is that God? Does the God that you and I serve bring that upon people's lives? No, he doesn't. Amen. He doesn't. You know, the Bible tells us plainly that God's heart for you and I is to prosper us, to bless us, not to curse us, to give us a hope. To give us a future. You see, if you take the devil out of the picture, why do you need salvation? Explain that. You cannot. Now, the reason why I say all of this is very simple. We as Christians need to know our responsibility when it comes to the forces of darkness and evil spirits and all of that type of stuff. Because yes, you know what? One thing that this guy did very well was very adequately and accurately display popular Christian culture when it comes to the things of the devil. Because Christians love to say the devil can't touch you. Because that makes it all God's problem. God must deal with the devil. Let's just quickly check that. Scripturally, is that correct? Well, somebody just tell me, what does it say in the book of 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 7? Anybody know? Be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, not God's, your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, whom you must resist, standing firm in your faith. My friend, God doesn't do the resisting on your behalf. God says, I have equipped you, I have called you, now you do the resisting. Amen. And if there's nothing out there to resist, what are you going to resist? It's not going to work, is it? All right, so what do we need to do? We must think soberly, like that scripture says. You know, the word sober doesn't always imply under the influence of alcohol or something like that. When you say to somebody, think soberly, what do you mean? Look at all the facts. All right? One of the worst things a Christian can be is unteachable. And let me just say that I've met a lot of very unteachable Christians in my life. We need to be teachable about the things of God. We need to be teachable about the things of the devil. Because you know what? God and the devil are both real. And there is a war going on for every person on this planet's soul. And it's a lot more real than most people think. So we need to be teachable and we need to think soberly about these things. You can't go with the masses and just subscribe to popular opinion. What if you find out one day that you were totally wrong? There is a lot of people that don't believe that God is real. Well, one day, with a big start, they will wake up probably when it's too late. We need to deal with this stuff. Yeah, we need to deal with this stuff now. What does the Bible teach us about this stuff? The Bible makes it very plain. Satan is real. Jesus wrestled with a real person, a real entity, when he was in the desert. The Bible mentions Satan both in the Old and in the New Testament. The Bible tells us that this person, Satan, is out to bring destruction upon the earth. The Bible says that if possible, he will deceive even the very elect. The very elect refers to people that have been saved. And if Satan can, he will deceive them. One of his biggest deceptions is, listen, your church, don't get all stressed out, don't get all charged up. I have no problem with you. I don't have a quarrel with you. I won't touch you. I only mess with prostitutes and drug addicts and mass murderers and pedophiles, but I don't touch the church. Hello? Who of you know of churches in your area that have closed down? Who of you know of churches in your area that have closed down? You know what? If we could do a survey and compare the amount of churches that there is in this country right now compared to even just 10 years ago, it would be the stuff of nightmares. We would cry. Because churches are closing down so quickly. Where is that coming from? Is that God? Is that God that says, listen, man, I don't like the church. And when I told Jesus to tell people to go out and make disciples and go out and spread the gospel, maybe I made a big mistake. Is that how God thinks? Or is it God's heart to save the lost? What does John 3:16 say? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. And how does eternal life come to the masses? Through people like you and me. Through the body of Christ. How many of you sitting here tonight can raise your hand and say, I am saved because an angel came to me and told me to believe the gospel? Anybody here? Nobody. How many of you can say today, I am saved because somebody took the time to evangelize me? Somebody took me to church and I heard a sermon and my eyes opened and I went forward and I prayed for me and I know that I am saved. That's our responsibility. But there is somebody out there that doesn't want us to fulfill our responsibility. Not all Christians are effective. I cannot say that they are saved or not. That's for God to decide. But I know that I know that I know that Christianity today is very ineffective. Now, if it is God's heart for us to be effective and reach the lost, then why are we so ineffective? Why are Christians afraid to spread the gospel? Why do we suffer from rejection so that we can't speak to people? Why do we have low self-esteem so that we can't even bring forth our ideas and show our feelings? Why are people so in bondage to fear? Why are people so in slavery to all sorts of rubbish from the devil? Because the devil doesn't want you and me to be effective in what God has called us for. The moment I become effective in what God has called me for, the devil is going to lose. Finished and klar. The Bible says that there are talents and the Bible says that there are gifts. Talents develop naturally. Gifts are released by God's anointing. And God's anointing increases the more I walk down the road God wants me to walk down. Okay? So if the devil can keep me from that road, he keeps me from going deeper into the things of God. The anointing on my life doesn't increase, and I never reach my potential that I have in Christ. Now guess who's happy then? The devil. The devil. So, what we've seen so far, the first week we spoke about this, we looked at is or are curses real? The Bible tells us that the Galatian church, you can go and read it yourself in the book of Galatians chapter 3, Paul speaks to them and he says to them something to this effect. He says, "You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. Now I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Holy Spirit of God by believing what you heard?" How does it go then? Did you receive that? Let's quickly just look at it. Galatians chapter 3. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? The word bewitched, what images does that conjure up in your mind? Bewitched, bewitched. What do you think of? He thinks of black magic. She thinks of witchcraft. What do you think of? Okay, well, witchcraft and black magic is taken. So voodoo? Okay, voodoo. All right, what else do you think of? What images does it conjure up? Bewitched. Evil spells, curses, hexes, incantations, hooded figures doing weird stuff. All right? Not one of you had a good thought, did you? So we all understand that the word bewitched implies something evil, something dark, something sinister, something negative. Now what happened to this church? He says this church was bewitched. Now if we want to put that into context, what was done to this church? Well, if that church was in the 20th century or the 21st century, wherever we are right now, if that church existed today, what would probably have happened in that church is a whole bunch of Satanists, a whole bunch of devil worshippers would have gone there and done all sorts of rituals and sacrifices all around that church, cursing the pastor, cursing the youth, cursing every marriage in that place, cursing every individual in that place. And unless somebody stood up against the evil that was trying to penetrate that church and put their foot down and told the devil where to get off, that church would have probably closed down. Which is one of the reasons why churches today still close down. It's not God's heart for them to change. There's another power moving in against them. Jesus said to Peter, "You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." What does the gates of hell represent? In the days in which the Bible was written, the gates was Parliament. You found the mayor there. You found the judges there. You found the top people of industry and business sitting right there. The gates was the power of the city. Now, if Jesus said to the disciples that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church, he says the most powerful forces, the most powerful part of Satan's kingdom cannot overcome the church. But you mustn't take that out of context. That doesn't mean that nothing that is done against the church will work. That means that if the church fulfills its calling and does what God expects them to do, the church will always be victorious. But how many churches are fulfilling that calling? How many churches are dealing with the devil the way God says we are supposed to deal with the devil? If you are teaching that the devil doesn't exist, which a lot of churches these days are, apparently the devil's a myth. So whatever we cast out of these people must have just been bad indigestion, you understand? Right. If you are teaching that the devil is not real, if you are teaching that the devil can't touch people and they mustn't even worry about him, then you cannot be effective in what God has called you for. Jesus said there will be war between Satan and my church. But when my church understands their calling and rises up in their anointing and their authority, my church will always be victorious. But you cannot say the same for the church that tries to make like this doesn't exist. This is not real. Because that church will suffer. And 10, 15, 20 years from now, that church will be gone. Because the devil wants to close down the church. Why do you think Jesus said there will be war? Why do you think Jesus said, listen here guys, he will come against you, and not just anything, the gates themselves will come for you. That's not a very comforting thought. But what is very comforting is the fact that when that happens, I will not be alone and neither will you. I have the power of God's Spirit with me. I have the anointing of the Holy Ghost with me. And for those of you that might not know, the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament is called the Ruach of God. The Ruach is the warlike energy of God. One of the titles of the Holy Spirit is He that wages war against Satan. Amen? Now just as the devil wants to wage war against me, so the Spirit of God in me wants to destroy him. If only I will allow him to do that. Amen? Amen. Bless God. We've seen that curses are real, that even in the New Testament churches had problems with them. And we have also seen what Jesus has done on our behalf to provide a way for us that if these things are coming against us, we can be more than conquerors. Who of you can remember, what did Jesus do for us so that we can be delivered? So that we can be set free, so that we can attack and destroy the curses of Satan in people's lives and in our own life if they're there. The Bible tells us the following. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, He was made a curse for us. That by that, we will not inherit the curse, but we will inherit the blessings of Abraham. Alright, that tells me plainly, it is not the Father's heart for you to have a curse upon your life. It is God the Father's heart that you should be blessed. And He went to great lengths to ensure that you can in fact be blessed. How did He do that? He cursed His own Son on your behalf. You see, let me just give you some insight here. The curse has the right in this world. The curse, the power of witchcraft is real and it has a right in this world. Why? Because Adam and Eve, in a moment of utter stupidity, made Satan king of this world. Satan took the power. What did God say to Adam and Eve when He just created them? Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, reign over it, subdue it. Eh? God gave Adam and Eve complete control. He said to them, this world is yours. Do whatever you please. You are in charge here. And by disobedience, they gave that same power and that same authority to Satan. Now it is in Satan's nature to curse. It is in Satan's nature to use witchcraft and sorcery and all of that type of stuff. That is the knowledge of good and evil. Curses, witchcraft, voodoo, Satanism are all part of the one realm that God said to them, don't go there. Don't eat from that tree. Hello? Don't eat from that tree. Knowledge of good, nobody could teach them anything. They knew God. They spoke to God face to face. Satan wanted evil to open up so that evil could have power in this world. Did they eat from the tree? Yes, they did. Was that power released into this world? Yes, it was. You can complain about it. You can moan about it. And one day when you see Eve, you can even go and talk to her about it. But until then, you just got to deal with it. Hello? Until then, you just got to deal with it the same way I do and everybody else does. What was the first thing that God said when He came on the scene after they'd messed up? Well, it's not really the first thing, but it's one of the first things. He said, because of what you have done, cursed will be the earth. Hello? The direct result of the disobedience in the Garden of Eden was that the power of the curse was released into the earth. And then He went and He said, it will bring forth thorns and thistles. Now, my understanding of that, I might be wrong, but it makes a lot of sense to me, is that refers to weeds. Stuff that absolutely is meaningless in your garden, that just suck the nutrients and the power out of the soil and destroys everything that's good and living. It's typical of Satan, right? Mm-hmm. Just sounds like the devil, like a blood sucker. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, every time, who of you have worked in the garden?
Yeah.
Who of you have noticed that you never have to give any attention to the weeds in your garden? They just prosper.
Yeah.
But if you don't water that petunia for one day, it's got some virus and it begins to die. Right? How does that work? Because the curse is real. Every time you look in your garden and you see weeds, you see all that rubbish that means nothing for nobody. It is a sign to you that the curse is coming to this world. Now, will the curse come into this world and affect only the earth, or will it affect those in the earth? Well, there's an easy way to look at that. You don't have to be a pig to go into a pigsty. But let me tell you something, when you go into a pigsty, you will look like a pig. You will smell like a pig. Because you will be affected by your environment. Hello? And we live in this world, and this world is under the power of the curse. That's where a lot of sickness and disease and problems come from, and we live here. So we need to start dealing with this stuff. We have the opportunity to put that rubbish under our feet. What did Jesus say to the disciples? Luke 10 verse 17. Behold, I have given you the authority to trample on serpents and on scorpions, and over all the power of the devil, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now don't go home and jump on your brother's pet snake, because that's not what God meant. You understand? And don't go into the kopjes in Mondio and go and turn around every rock looking for scorpions to jump on them. You might get stung, and it's not God's fault. Serpents and scorpions is a depiction of curses and evil spirits. Okay? That's exactly what it means. And it says, we have the authority to trample on them. Not them over us. But what happens if you never use your authority? Or what happens if somebody taught you that it's not necessary? They will walk over you. They will walk over you. Mark, come here quickly. Can we do a demonstration? If I am a bully, and Mark is very capable of defending himself, and I keep, for now, come on, you must get with the program. Okay, for now you are not going to defend yourself, you understand? You're going to just grin and bear it. If I keep messing with him, and I keep giving him a hard time, will anything change? But if he begins to fight back, then I might think twice before I go for him again. You must excuse him. He grew up in the South. All right? Thank you. You can sit down. I want to see you after the service. We're going to pray about that anger. All right. Mogi, and we will pray for you too. All right. Okay, so that's, you know what? It's true in the real world and it's true in the spirit world. If you don't want to defend yourself, you're going to suffer. The devil is like a typical bully. He loves to pick on people that never make a fuss, that never put their foot down, that never stand for what is right. And there's a gazillion of them in this world. You know what? How many people say something to this effect? God made me a fearful person. I can't do anything about it. Oh, I'm just, this depression will just always be with me. This is just the way that I am. This is just my personality. I just have no self-esteem. I was right at the back of the queue when God handed it out. Hello? How many people think that way? God never created you like that. Satan is busy working in your life. He's robbing you of something. And it's time that you put your foot down and take back what he is stealing. Alright, so two things that we've seen so far. Curses are real, whether we like it or not. They're real. The Bible says they're real. Second thing is, God made a way for us to be free from the power of the curse, not because you say or I say, but because of what Jesus did for us. How did Jesus become a curse for us? In the Old Testament, the scripture says that if anybody is crucified, and they are crucified while the sun sets, they will be cursed of God. Jesus was executed by crucifixion. While he was on the cross, the Bible says between the sixth and the ninth hour, there was darkness over the face of the earth. The moment the darkness came, according to the biblical curse spoken in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 21, Jesus became cursed. Why did God curse his one and only son? It was the only way to legally remove the curse on her life, my life, whoever's life, because the price has to be paid. If you get a speeding fine, it'll not go away until the price is paid, right? Can I pay the fine on your behalf?
Yes.
Of course I can. Will the judge tell me, Rion, you must be mad? Fatima must pay her own penalty. Or will he just say, man, that 100 rand looks like a give it ya? He's not interested, is he? If a penalty must be paid, it must be paid. The penalty for the curse has been paid.
Amen.
By Jesus. Sometimes we just got to fight a bit to remind the devil it's been done. Because you know what? The devil's like a typical naughty child. He's got selective hearing and selective understanding. And when you confront him with it, at first he's going to make like, well, he's never done anything wrong. And you're probably going to have to fight him a bit to get him under your feet. But he will go under your feet if you persevere.
Yeah.
Amen? He will. Now, we dig a little bit deeper. Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 2 says the following. Book of Proverbs, chapter 26, verse 2. Like a fluttering sparrow or a darting swallow, so an undeserved curse shall not come to rest. The King James Version puts it this way. It says, a curse without a cause shall not come to light. Listen carefully. What is the purpose of Proverbs? The Bible says the main purpose of Proverbs is to give man wisdom into the things of the kingdom of God. All right? Now, one of the key things that you need to understand about curses is if there is a cause, they will come. If there is no cause, they cannot come. All right, now that first part, let me just read it to you again. Like a fluttering sparrow or a darting swallow, so an undeserved curse does not come to rest. Why is the portion of the bird put in there? To try and show us what will happen. Now, let's take, for example, Josiah. Josiah, just wave at the people. Good, that's Jose. All right. Let's just say that I try and put some weird curse or something on Jose, and there is no place for it to sit. Remember, the Bible also says in the New Testament, give the devil no place. Why? Because if you've given him place, he'll go sit there. All right? And he's not a swallow, he's not a sparrow, he's a big vulture. And you all know that when a bird goes and sits, it normally leaves residue, right? It'll dump all over wherever it sits. You can be very glad you're not a statue in the park. Okay? Now, if this thing comes for him, and there's no place for it to sit. Have you noticed we're going into that season now where the swallows begin to sit on the, they begin to sit on the overhead power wires and stuff, and you see them darting and swooping and flying, and especially when there's lots of little chuchaikis on the ground. They look like they're going down and they're going to hit the ground, and then just like seconds before they connect with the earth, they pull up out of that dive and they swoop up. Now, that's exactly the picture that the Bible is trying to give us when somebody sends a curse and there's no place for it to sit. It's like, and then it goes up. Why? Because it did not find a place to sit. But what if he's giving it place? What if there are things in his life that is not right, that is providing a place? The Bible says, give the devil no place. What if he's giving the devil place? Will it now sit? Yes. Well, it's got a perch. And now he's got problems. A curse without a cause shall not come to light. Now, when you begin to deal with the whole area of curses and all that type of stuff, you need to also deal with the thing called the cause. Because whatever is working in a person's life is working because of something that is not right. And until we fix what is not right, nothing will change. The one night here, some of you were here that night when we prayed. You can sit now, Jose, thank you. We have a place for you here. All right, so you may sit down. One night, it was about a year ago, we prayed for a lady here who had a problem with addiction. And she could not break free from this addiction. I prayed for her the first night. She fell down and demons began to scream out of her. We cast them out. She came back the second week and she said she feels like a total new person. She feels wonderful. She says even everybody at work was commenting that she looks so different and it's like, wow. A curse without a cause shall not come to light. So anyway, I said to her, that's wonderful. I'm glad that she feels better. That night, I spoke on curses. I spoke on the effect of the occult and this and that and blah, 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 what. Afterwards, she came to me and she said, listen, yeah, I think I've got a problem. I said, why? She says, when I was younger, because we had so many problems in the family and I had so many problems in my own life, I tore up my Bible. And I renounced God. And I said to the devil, if God can't take care of me, maybe you can. Something stupid like that. Something done in anger. Maybe she didn't even mean it. How many of you have said stuff that you did not mean when you were angry?
Yes.
All right. I have to raise two hands now. Anyway, I said to her, I think that's pretty serious. And I'm pretty sure that there's a big chocho that came in through that. Those of you that were here that night to see what happened when I started to pray for her, she rearranged the first two rows of chairs here. She went ballistic. And that demon was screaming out of her. And he confessed. He was the cause of a lot of the problems that have come into her life from the day that she did that, because he came because of what she did. She turned her back on God. If you turn your back on God, who do you turn towards? Satan. And she renounced the power of God's Holy Spirit in her life, which is the only one that can protect her against that rubbish. Did she know that she caused so much problems at that stage? Uh-uh. She had no idea. Did she know that time and time again when she had calamity and problem after problem in her life, that it was caused by what she did a year, 2 years, 5 years ago? Uh-uh. But it was. Why? Because that thing had place. And if you think she looked better after we prayed for her the first time, you should have seen her after we prayed for her the second time. You could not even say it was the same person. Even her face, she had a very harsh face, like a tough face. It's difficult to explain. It was like sharp edges and like almost mean looking. Not because she wanted to, that was just the way she looked. After we prayed for her for 2 weeks in a row, when she walked in here, she was as meek as a lamb. She had the soft face. She actually had color in her skin. It was amazing to see. She's still doing well. Bless God. Why could she not break free? Because there was a curse. Can willpower neutralize a curse? Let me give you a little bit of advice. The weakest demon in Satan's kingdom is more than a match for your willpower. More than a match. You cannot override it by willpower. You cannot override it by positive thinking. If you've got that curse, you cannot override it by... What were those pills that you were on?
Prozac.
Zoloft.
Zopex.
Fatima's life was cursed. Those of you that have heard her testimony... She wasn't just cursed, she was cursed fraught.
Yeah.
Okay? There was hardly anything left. By the grace of God, she could breathe every morning. Nothing would change that until the curses in her life were destroyed. Amen. Did you try and fix your life through various different ways?
Plenty times.
But nothing lasted, did it? How long is it now that you haven't been on that stuff?
6 years.
6 years ago was the last time that she took any of those tablets to try and cope with life. Why? Because she didn't need them anymore. Because the curse was broken. Okay. Proverbs 26 verse 2. A curse without a cause shall not come to light. If every one of you had to be very honest, if we lived in an ideal world where there was no pride, everybody would probably have to admit and say, you know what? I probably did give the devil some place in my life. A lot of us have done things in anger. A lot of us have done a lot more things in stupidity. Eve was just plain stupid. She can kick herself. She's probably kicking herself till today for what she did. But you know what? She can't change it. It happened. And so a lot of us have done things in the heat of the moment through stupidity. And if it was up to the devil, he would make you pay for that for the rest of your life. God said, I will have mercy on you. I will provide a way out.
Amen.
You don't have to suffer for the rest of your life for doing something stupid. That girl that tore up her Bible, did she really mean it? At that moment, yes, because anger was welling up in her. But in the bigger scheme of things, never. She didn't mean it. But if it was up to Satan, she would still be paying today for what she did. God is merciful. The Bible says God is faithful and just, and He will forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness if we confess our sins to Him. God wants us to experience His mercy. Now, His mercy does not just include forgiveness, it also includes deliverance. Because sometimes the stuff we did opened the door for a chocho to start messing with us. To some people, salvation is like, how can I explain it? Salvation is like this thing that one day will bring peace. One day will bring healing. One day will bring deliverance. When they die and they go to heaven. To them, it's a ticket to heaven. And that will change their life. My friend, salvation is not supposed to change your life after you've dead. It's supposed to change your life today.
Amen.
Amen. Healing is for today. Deliverance is for today. Restoration is for today. Breakthrough is for today. That's why Jesus died for you. When you're up in heaven, you don't need to be free from no curse because the devil's not there. When you're up in heaven, you don't have to be healed of your depression or whatever because it's not there. It's down here. So Jesus did all of that so that you could be free down here. You got some devil giving you a hard time? Jesus wants you to be free from it. Yeah. There's no benefit in heaven. In heaven, there's no stuff like that. We're all going to be free. We're all going to be healed. So don't go blow your brains out or do something stupid to get to heaven quicker. There's other ways of dealing with this stuff. Amen? There's other ways of dealing with this stuff. Proverbs 18 verse 21. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. We can preach for a couple of weeks on the tongue alone. The Bible says it is the smallest digit in the human body, but it is the most disastrous. It is the most destructive. Do you know how many people are suffering under hair-raising curses? If they could see in the spirit, they would crack over all the devils hanging around them because of what they themselves had brought into their life. Listen to what Scripture says. It's not my opinion. It's biblical fact. There are two things locked up in your mouth. One is life, and the other one is death. You choose which one you release over yourself, your children, your finances, your marriage, your health, whatever, every single day of your life. You choose. And some of us daily make stupid choices. And we release death, death, death. How many of you have seen demons? Let me just see your hands. Okay. One thing I guarantee you when you see a demon, they got the biggest ears you can ever imagine. You know why? They must zoom in on what you say so that they can hold what you've said against you. And you know what? The moment you start becoming negative and you start cursing your own life, those ears go, and they got you. And they come running to fulfill the prophecy that you spoke over your own life. That's how these things work. Give the devil no place. One of the places that we give him is the things we speak over ourselves. How many people have spoken things like, I'm just stupid. I'll never understand this stuff. I'm never going to have a husband. I'll never lose weight. And then you never do, yeah. Okay, now afterwards, I'm going to see a whole bunch of people running forward to pray for. Yeah.
To lose weight.
God doesn't care about me. God doesn't care about... How many people, when things go bad, say stupid things like, God doesn't care about me? We curse ourselves. We curse our children. Are you stupid? You stupid. Don't you ever listen to me? Blah, blah, blah. And you know what? Your son or your daughter begins to battle more and more with their schoolwork. They can't understand why. They're really trying. There's a lack of concentration. They don't understand why. There's problems. They don't understand why. They get sent for therapy. They get sent for this, that, blah, blah, blah. But what you don't realize is for the last 2 or 3 years, on a weekly basis, you've told the child he's stupid. The devil has just come to fulfill your prophecy. And there's in the spirit this thing hanging over the child's head, causing all sorts of interference in the brain, causing all sorts of problems. Can the devil do that? Easy. Easy. But we are the ones that speak it. I have a friend. I have his permission and his mother's permission to share this testimony with you. When, before he was born, his father went to a fortune teller. Because at that stage, it was flavor of the month at his office. Everybody went to fortune tellers. And this man went to the fortune teller, and the fortune teller prophesied, and I put that in commas, he prophesied, or she prophesied, that he would die before his, I think it was 30th or 31st birthday. Now let's just get one thing straight. That's not why people go to fortune tellers, right? They don't go there to be told that they are going to die. They go there to be told that you're going to find Mr. Right or Mrs. Right. They go there to be told there's lots of money in your future. They go there to be told promotion is heading your way. We want to hear good stuff, don't we? Well, I've never been there, but the people that go there, I'm sure that's why they go there. But if you knew who sat behind the prophecies that come through fortune tellers' mouths, you wouldn't go there in the first place because it's a very evil-looking thing. It's a big fat jojo. It's the devil himself. And so he was told that he would die before a certain age. All right? If all else fails, just whatever. Nah, it's not going to happen. Now suddenly we don't believe in this rubbish. We believed enough to go there, but now that it's negative, it'll never happen. And so he did die of a heart attack before that birthday, whichever one it was. But not before conceiving his son. Now, the curse was spoken over the father. You will die. The curse was spoken with a lot of power because the person that spoke the curse was a servant of Satan. Now you better believe there was a whole bunch of devils that came to fulfill that prophecy. In the meantime, he had conceived a son. Guess what happened when the father passed away? Where did the curse go? To the son. If you looked at that young man's life, man, we're going to look at a couple of things just now that is all so true about this young man's life. Whenever anything could go wrong, it did go wrong. I can't remember how many massive accidents he was in, where they looked at the vehicles afterwards and they said, Did anybody come out of there alive? They couldn't believe that he would suffer in such a wreck and still be alive. That was the grace of God. But why was he in so many accidents? Because the spirit of death was hanging over him. That curse was trying to take him. That's its purpose. It's there to take his life. When he went to parties and somebody pulled out a gun and started shooting, they always shot at him. Any of you ever been shot at? He was shot at like 5 or 6 times. He was stabbed with knives. I don't know how many times. But what was he doing? He was drawing death towards him like a magnet. Now, listen here, man. If you look at your life and you compare your life to his life, you don't have to have a PhD in whatever to figure out that, listen here, something's wrong. There was something big wrong. There was a curse upon his life. And he battled. He couldn't keep his jobs. He was always fired. He always had problems. He had big problems at school. He had behavioral problems. He never fit in. And he got involved in Satanism at a young age. But why did he get involved in Satanism? Not because he had a problem with himself or he was full of rebellion, because that spirit was already over him and that's where Satan wanted him. That thing already had a measure of power over his life. His life was cursed from the day that he was born. His mother came to see me with him. We spoke about this. His mother by that time understood a little bit about curses and stuff, and she told me what had happened. And she was very open to him being prayed for and trusting the Lord Jesus to break this curse over this boy's life. At that stage, he was about 24 years old, 25, I can't remember. We prayed. She confessed on behalf of her husband. The young man confessed on behalf of his father, the things that was done, the curses that were spoken over him, and he renounced it. A whole bunch of evil spirits were cast out of him. Can you believe his life changed like day and night from that day? For the first time in his life, he had peace. He's been in the same stable job now for, I think, under correction, 10, 12 years. Before, it used to be like maybe a year and a half, there was always problems. He was always unsettled. There was always something wrong. Is it coincidence? Impossible. Is it a curse? That's biblical. That's biblical. And what happened when we broke it? A whole bunch of chochos came out. A whole bunch of chochos came out. And when they were gone, his life was different.
Amen.
Now I'm not saying everything that happened in his life was because of that chocho that came, because he opened a whole bunch of doors himself. But he had a lot of help in opening those doors, because there was already something there pushing him to the dark side, wanting him to be involved in all of this rubbish. And that is real. Very real. Now my point is, the curse was spoken. And it had power. Because life and death is in the power of the tongue. We can bless with our tongue, or we can curse. The choice is yours. Now, both blessings and curses can also be released by touch. When you call somebody forward and you lay hands on them and you pray for them, what are you releasing upon them? God's blessing. Amen? God's blessing. But in the same way, curses can also be released by touch. Often when you go to places where they do faith healing, Reiki, and all sorts of weird stuff, it's also got a lot to do with touching. Alright? Curses can be transferred by touching. You don't just let anybody come and lay hands on you. A couple of years ago, I was in a church, And a woman came forward and she said, please pray for me, I think my finances are cursed. I said, all right, I'll pray for you. Now it's amazing, most people do not believe in curses until you start talking about finances. Then they are more than happy to understand that there might be a curse on their finances. You know. And everybody rushes forward. Yeah, I need more money. So anyway, this lady comes to me, she says, please pray for me, I believe my finances are cursed. I said, all right, I'll pray for you. I began to pray for her. She fell down on the floor and she started screaming. This evil spirit was screaming and yelling and freaking out of her mouth. And I rebuked the thing as a financial curse and it wouldn't leave. After a while, I decided, well then, you know what, obviously this is not what this is something different. And I said to the thing, in the name of Jesus, what are you? And in the beginning it wouldn't say anything. It just gave me this like sick grin. And it sat there and it wouldn't leave. And it took us a while. It took us a good half an hour to eventually cast this thing out. But eventually, you know what happened? The thing told me who it was and where it came from. She went to a crusade when she was younger. Big crusade. Christian crusade. Healing crusade. And after the thing, it was something that was done in a stadium. There was thousands of people. And after this thing, there was quite a few people that were all praying for people. Now, I don't think it's a problem if you go to a healing crusade. Let's say Benny Hinn or somebody is there, or Reinhard Bonker is there, and those oaks, they lay hands on you. It's somebody that you know. They've got a track record. You know the fruit of the Spirit in their life. That's fine. But it is a problem when you go to people that you know nothing of. You don't know their life. You don't know their standing with God. You got no references to just let them lay hands on you. Now, she was noticing this one specific individual. Everybody that he touched, stuff happened to them. It's like, boom, some fell down on the floor and some yelled and some screamed and some jumped and some, you know, all sorts of stuff was happening. And so she thought, okay, that guy's got real power. So she wanted to have him pray for her. So she went and she asked him to pray for her. Now, all right, that didn't come out then. Only thing the demon said is the demon said, that he came in because a man laid hands on her at a crusade and the man was a Satanist. And he said, the tongues that this woman speaks in is not from God. I gave her that tongue. I cast it out. She couldn't speak in tongues after it had left her. But it entered her when that man touched her. And you know what? I asked her afterwards, what happened when that man touched you? Because she was quite shocked to find out that she didn't have the right tongues. She never knew there was anything wrong with her tongues. And that brings us to one very important thing. The devil can also speak in tongues, right? Okay. I asked her, what happened that day when that person laid hands on you? She said, the moment he touched her, it felt like some very powerful force just filled her and it knocked her completely out. Now, she wasn't conscious. She was unconscious when that power entered her. And she lay on the floor unconscious for maybe 20 minutes. When she came to, she had no recollection of what had happened. That is not the Spirit of God. Whenever we pray for people and they do get slain in the Spirit, you can come and check. They can hear everything that happens. They are totally aware of what happens because God doesn't force things on you.
Yes.
The devil forces. The devil takes control. The Holy Spirit, if I want to stop things, I can stop it. I shouldn't stop it. Because the Bible does say, do not resist the Spirit. But you can stop it. If you feel uncomfortable, you can say, hey, whoa. And you can stop it. Often when we pray for people, they go back. They don't want to fall. They feel uncomfortable. That's fine. It's up to them. But in any case, this woman had received a curse upon her life the moment that individual touched her. And she said, the moment he touched her, he hadn't said anything. He hadn't prayed anything. The moment he touched her, bam, it was there. And of course, afterwards, she and her husband were both praising God for this wonderful gift. But the gift was a lie. It was a lie. And let me tell you what an eye-opener to the rest of the church when they found out that thing was a ho-ho. Yes?
Good question. But that's not for normal touching. Say, Satanist, he just puts your hand and says, how are you?
All right.
That's not going to happen.
Okay. No, what the question that he asked is a good question. Does that mean now that some Satanist can walk down the road and go, be cursed, be cursed, be cursed? No. The Bible also says, lay hands on no man suddenly. Now, there is a big difference between shaking hands with somebody and greeting them and allowing somebody to pray and minister to you. Because the moment you allow them to pray and minister to you, you are submitting to the power that works through them.
It's a curse without a cause.
Yeah. So if you go and you let somebody lay hands on you, then you are acknowledging that you will receive whatever power is working through them upon you. And if it's satanic, even though you are a child of God, it'll probably come and it will come and curse your life. And that is why you just don't let just anybody that you don't know lay hands on you and pray for you. Okay. Looking at it from another point of view, of touch, curses can definitely be transferred by objects. A couple of years ago in this church, it was probably about 7 or 8 years ago, it was right in the beginning when we started having meetings like this for the first time. Back then it was still on a Tuesday night. One specific Tuesday night, a young man came here. He was a prison warden. I can't remember what I spoke. I spoke on the baptism of the Holy Spirit that night. Afterwards, this young man was crying, snot and trane. And I asked him what was wrong. And he said to me, look, he doesn't know what's going on in his life, but he's sure that his life is cursed. Now, we didn't speak on curses that night. We didn't touch on it. The Holy Spirit was definitely ministering to people. And I said to him, but why do you say that? And he told me what had gone wrong in his life in the last 6 months. He'd lost his wife. He'd lost his job. He had so many problems, weird sicknesses, started suffering from depression, like all sorts of weird stuff was just happening to him. And I said to him, listen, yeah, did something strange happen round about the time when all of this happened in your life? He says, what do you mean? So I gave him a couple of hints of what might, and I said to him, did anything weird or strange or supernatural, blah, blah, blah. He says, yes, now that he thinks of it. Now he has his story. At that stage, he was a prison warden. They had just caught a very notorious gangster that was responsible for a lot of crime, a lot of armed robbery, murder, all sorts of stuff like that. A really, really evil person. He was caught and he was sent to prison. While he was in prison, he escaped and he broke out. This young man caught him. When he caught this person, the person in front of everybody that was there turned at him, pointed his finger at him and said, do not think that you will get away with this. You will pay for what you have done. And I can't remember exactly what else he said, but that was the gist of it. And this young man thought to himself, nah, whatever man, just go to prison and whatever. 2 days later, during one of their breaks, during a work break, him and two of his colleagues, he was white, the two colleagues were black, went to his house to go and have a cup of coffee. When he opened the door and he walked in, there was a dead bird lying on the floor. But you could see that it wasn't a bird that had just flown in there and died. It was sliced open, it was cut up, and there was all sorts of funny stuff around it. When the two black people saw that, they both jumped out of the house and they said, we won't go into your house. He looked at it and he said, what are you talking about? It's just a dead bird. And they said, no, that's not just a dead bird. Somebody has cursed you. Somebody has cursed you. And this man said, man, I don't believe in rubbish like that. And he walked over, he picked up the bird and he threw it in the dustbin. From that week, him and his wife started fighting like cat and dog. Within a month, she'd left him. He started suffering from depression. Got so bad that they told him, look, you can't work here anymore. And so one by one, things started happening in his life that his life just went down the tubes. on the day that he came here to pray, he took the last 10 or 20 rand that he had on his name to put petrol in his car to drive here, not knowing what he would do the day after. We prayed for him that night. He got delivered.
Amen.
Those evil spirits that came through that came out when we prayed for him. I can tell you that he's happily married now. I can tell you that his life is back to normal.
Amen.
But he was cursed by that thing. Yes, there was some door open in his life for that to come in the first place. I had acknowledged that. It didn't just come. A curse without a cause doesn't come to light. And there were issues in his life, issues between him and his father, etc., etc., and that we all had to deal with that. But that doesn't change the fact that it cursed his life. Amen. I think what I'm going to do is stop here for tonight. Next week, we will look at specific signs that indicate the workings of curses in people's lives and the steps to freedom, the biblical steps to freedom, to break free from bondage, which is exactly what God wants for you and for me. Amen? All right, let's not be all negative now. Let's not be all down and disheartened. Even though these things are real, there is a very real cure.
Amen.
Amen. This is not some weird disease or sickness that people get and then the medical fraternity says, well, you know what, there's nothing we can do for you. There is hope. There is living hope through Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Healer, our Redeemer, our Deliverer. In His name, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess, Jesus Christ is Lord. There is no demon, no devil, no curse, no evil power, no spell, no ritual, no incantation that cannot be broken by the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
How can I say that? Because He conquered the devil Himself on the cross.
Amen.
The Bible teaches us that. And that's what we need to know. Yes. Yeah. Okay, here's a question. If I receive some curse on my life because I've done whatever it might be and I'm not saved, if I now get saved, does the curse disappear or is it still there?
It's still there.
It's still there. Why? Because curses can only go when somebody fights them and binds them to the truth of the word. Curses don't disappear because we become saved. When we become saved, we receive the power to deal with them. But we still have to deal with them. The Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. It's possible to get saved and not even know that the devil is in your life and you will not resist him and he will not flee. I normally try and explain it to people this way. When you get saved, you receive Jesus in your heart, right? And you become a child of God, right? But God is omnipresent, isn't He? Now, if the devil was so afraid of God rocking up, you would not find him on earth. I don't know exactly where you would find him because God is everywhere. But the devil doesn't fear just because God comes. When Jesus was baptized in the Holy Spirit, did the devil run to get away from him or did the devil run to him to challenge him? The devil ran to him to challenge him. That's how Satan works. Okay, so you think you've got power? Let's check. Let's see. That's how Satan works. You see, people must get over this thing that the devil is now totally afraid of you because you've become a Christian. Do you know how many Christians have come and gone through the ages that haven't done nothing to stop the devil's work? Either in their own life or anybody else's life. And chances are that you're going to just be one of them. So why must he be that afraid? Nah, he'll bide his time. He'll hang around. And he'll be working behind the scenes. Stealing from you. The Holy Spirit will do his best to open your eyes to see. Listen here. Buddy, please, come on. This is not right. This is not normal. My word says you must have peace. You got no peace. Do something about it. Put your foot down. Deal with it. If somebody has unforgiveness before they get saved, does the unforgiveness immediately disappear because they get saved? Unforgiveness disappears when you deal with it in your heart. Bitterness disappears when you deal with it in your heart. And both those things give the devil place in people's lives. So why should he leave just because you got saved? There's a lot of people that choose to get saved because they want some quick fix in their life. Let me just help you right here. Salvation is not a quick fix. Salvation is the start of a journey where God will take you to His promise for your life. But you must allow Him, and when He expects you to start dealing with stuff in your life, you got to deal with it. But again, God will not force you. We've had quite a few people, yeah, you've all seen it, that have been Christians for how long? And when we prayed for them, chochos came out. The chocho wasn't afraid of this building. The chocho wasn't afraid of the church. The chocho wasn't afraid of them or of me or of anybody. It came and sat here and listened to all the sermons. Probably tried to confuse the heck out of the poor person, but sat here anyway. Do you know how many people I've prayed for that sit in the church, but they can never understand the message? You think I'm joking? We've prayed for at least four at these meetings. They go to church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. Yes, they've given their heart to Jesus. Yes, they know that Jesus is their Lord and their Savior. Yes, they even know the scriptures. But when they sit in the church, this confusion comes over them. Nothing makes sense to them. When we pray for them, this evil spirit normally starts screaming, comes out of them, and after that day, it's over. We've had people, yeah, every Sunday when they walk into the church, in their mind, they begin to blaspheme God. They begin to curse God. They swear at Him. They don't want to. They feel terrible, but they don't know how to stop it. We pray for them, an evil spirit comes out. It goes. A lot of them played glassy-glassy or did something occultic years ago. And it still sits there until somebody punches it in the face and says, "Futsack, devil, you got no more place here." It is the believer's responsibility to chase the devil. It's not God's. Biblically, it's your responsibility. God's not afraid of the devil. Jesus did conquer him. But you have to do what Jesus did. You have to conquer this thing in Jesus' power. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, Father, we thank You in the mighty name of Jesus that we know that we know that we know that Satan was conquered on the cross of Calvary. We know, Lord Jesus, that You gave every last drop of Your precious blood, that by that You would pay once and for all the complete atonement for all the sins and rubbish in our life. You provided a way for us to be free from the satanic bondage that Satan brings into our lives. And Lord, we have to be very honest. We know that sometimes we've done things to call him into our life. Thank You, Lord, for Your mercy that we don't have to be in bondage for the rest of our life, but that by Your grace and mercy we have the right to be set free. The moment we choose to appropriate and apply what Jesus has done for us in our life. Lord, help us to understand these things because it is difficult. And one thing that makes it very, very difficult is, depending on who you listen to, there can either be stuff like this or it's totally impossible. It cannot. Lord, it's not man's opinion that will set people free. It's Your Word. Let Your Word speak to Your people, please, Father, in Jesus' name. Let the truth and the revelation of Jesus Christ on the cross and what He has done for us set people free. We honor You and we thank You for this now. Lord, may the power of Your Holy Spirit come upon every person that is here tonight. And Lord, as we pray for them, we thank You that it is Your grace, Your mercy, Your power, Your anointing that will touch, deliver, and set free. We honor You for this in the